Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Jake and Stacy on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
All right, we got another Seahawks draft prospect profile for you. Looking once again at the offensive line with Oklahoma center Creed Humphrey.
This is Jake and Stacy's off-season profile. A look at the key free agents, potential draft picks, and extension candidates for the Hawks championship run.
Let's go!
Draft profile.
Born and raised in Oklahoma, Humphrey stayed in state, committed to the Oklahoma Sooners. He's been their best lineman for the last two seasons. Interior lineman, certainly an area where the Seahawks are going to be looking. They brought back Ethan Posick, but they aren't like heavily committed to him for the future. So you've got Gabe Jackson, you got Damian Lewis, but you could still be looking for a center. It makes Creed Humphrey a potential pickup there. He was the Big 12 Offensive Lineman of the Year in both 2019 and 2020. That latest mock draft from DraftWire has him listed at number 55 overall. Yes, that is one pick ahead of Seattle, so there's a chance he's right there on the board when the Hawks are selecting. To help us understand a bit more about Creed Humphrey, here is Jake Heaps' profile.
I talked to you guys about one of my favorite offensive line prospects in this draft, and that is Quinn Meinerz. But I want to show you guys another prospect that I think would be a home run slam dunk for the Seattle Seahawks if this player was to fall to them at 56. That is center Creed Humphrey out of the University of Oklahoma. Now, Creed Humphrey is a player that came from a well-established program. He has been a four-year starter for the Oklahoma Sooners. He's a player that is really, to me, a surefire, can't-miss type of prospect at his particular position. He's 6'4", 302 pounds, and is just a physical freak in terms of everything that he did in terms of his testing at his pro day. He ran a sub 5 flat 40. Yeah, his vertical leap was 33 inches. He bench pressed 29 times. His short shuttle even beat a lot of his non-lineman counterparts. At his pro day, he was beating linebackers and running backs in different positions with his short shuttles and three cone drills. He really, really impressed. He broad jumped 112 inches, which is absolutely absurd for a center, somebody that's over 300 pounds. And Creed Humphrey is one of those guys that really captivated his teammates from his leadership and also just being widely known as just an athletic freak for his position and at his size. He was born and raised in an Oklahoma Sooner fan. Creed Humphrey in high school was a participant in high school football and in wrestling, and his father was a former wrestler as well. Creed Humphrey, because of his fandom for the Oklahoma Sooners, as soon as he got the scholarship offer from Lincoln Riley, he committed on the spot. It was a no-brainer decision for him. And I think that when you look at somebody like Creed Humphrey, he's a guy that really has it all put together. He's a two-time captain. He's a player that has great command of himself and the offense that they ran at Oklahoma. He really is the surefire overall prospect. So Quinn Meinerz, I think, is going to be a guy that a lot of people fall in love with in this draft, really like, and I think he has a chance to really go high. I think Creed Humphrey's, just based off of the position alone, the center position, has a chance to slip in this draft because there's so many great receiver prospects. You're going to see a great run at the quarterback position. Cornerbacks is another high-profile position that you see in this draft. So I think just based off of talent and need, you're going to see somebody like Creed Humphrey fall into the second round of this draft. And if Creed Humphrey was to stick around here for the Seahawks at pick number 56, it would be crazy for them to not take that opportunity to add competition, to solidify this offense. And you know that Damian Lewis, Gabe Jackson are going to be on this roster for the foreseeable future. Ethan Posick is the question mark, but Ethan Posick is a guy that I believe you brought back because you feel like he can get better from his first year as a starting center every single game in this league for you, but he can improve. And if you aren't able to get a center in the draft, you feel good about Ethan Posick and what you could eventually be, but you only signed him to a one-year base type of contract, a one-year, $1 million base type of contract where he has the incentives to earn up to $3 million. That's not a contract that the team is locked into. That is a contract that absolutely screams a competition of some sort at the position. And I think if you bring in Creed Humphrey, not only do I think he wins the job, but I think he becomes a top-tier center in this league. I really, truly am confident that Creed Humphrey is going to be able to translate at a high level into the NFL from everything that he's done. Now, he's an excellent pass protector. He's extremely athletic. You see him in the screen game. You see him getting out in front to the second level. But what I like about him is that he's not necessarily the most powerful offensive lineman in terms of the run game, but he does get it done. He can mix it up. You see some attitude with him in the running game as well. And so I think that he is just an overall well-rounded prospect that I think would be a tremendous fit based off of the need of your offensive line, wanting to truly improve it, truly upgrade it. I think they made a great addition with Gabe Jackson. Now, if they made the addition of Creed Humphrey, I feel like you would really, really feel good about where your offense is, not just for this year, but of the future. And if you're talking about Russell Wilson and him feeling good about the future here in Seattle, I think that bringing in somebody like Creed Humphrey from Oklahoma would really do the trick.
Now, Curtis, and thank you, Jake Heaps, for that preview of Creed Humphrey. I have to be honest, if the Seahawks take Creed Humphrey, I hate it, but we will be required to like play at least one segment intro that's a Creed song.
Yeah, we'll probably do a whole segment in our Scott Stapp voice.
Scott Stapp. It's going to drive you guys crazy. Yeah. No, we're going to take it seriously. You know what I mean? Like, I think this is an important pick. I think Russell Wilson would welcome him with arms wide open and see him as a great addition to the offensive line. I'm sure it's a pick he'd be very interested in.
Agreed. I think the Seahawks, they're looking for someone to mold on that O-line. Mm-hmm. Human clay, as it were.
Yeah, I think that that's exactly right. I think also, you know what, if you're a Seahawks fan, I know that there's a lot of different positions you want to see addressed, and you might be thinking, my sacrifice as a Seahawks fan might be taking an interior lineman over a cornerback. But again, we're taking this seriously. It's a serious segment. We aren't joking around. We're really looking at
this.
We would not just
hit you with three Creed songs back
That's
to back to back.
That's stupid.
Like,
what are we, children?
I don't know.
That's a dumb thing to do. When I'm looking at the draft needs, and thank you, Jake, for that, I list offensive lineman, interior line particularly, wide receiver three, cornerback. Now, a lot of Jake's profiles have been on interior linemen. He's previewed some wide receivers as well. Those are two important needs for Seattle. I've got to be honest. The position I want to see them address first is cornerback, particularly if there's someone they have that's the best player on their board. I don't want them to take a cornerback in the second or third round that they have listed as like a fifth round prospect just because they need one. I feel, though, very uncertain about this room. It's not because I don't think Trey Flowers can play up to a starting role. It's not because I don't think that Akella Witherspoon can potentially have a bounce back year. It's not necessarily a lack of faith that NFL players can play well for you. Like, it's not going to be your strongest position group, but I don't think that they've just got nobody competing. Rather, it's that you've got a lot of short-term options. You have one player, Ugo Amadi, who is your nickel, by the way, not an outside guy, one cornerback who's under contract for 2022. You know what you could really use? Someone on a rookie deal.
Absolutely. And when you got guys on rookie deals that outperform them, that allows you to spend in other areas that, you know, definitely need more veteran help. And defensive back on this team right now, who do you have, especially at the cornerback spot, that can match up with the other team's best receiver right now? Akella Witherspoon maybe is that guy. You've also got, like you said, Trey Flowers. DJ Reed is there. None of these guys have ever been asked to be a number one corner, a guy that has been asked to, you know, line up against the other team's best player. And I think this is the position of most uncertainty with the Seahawks right now. You can get by as the Seahawks are right now without addressing the wide receiver three spot. Maybe you address that in the second wave of free agency once May 3rd hits the calendar. You can find guys on the offensive line, but cornerback right now, the only available options are guys that come with some serious injury risk. Guys like, was it Jason? Well, Jason Verrett signed, didn't he? But you got Casey Hayward, former Chargers player. Richard Sherman's 33 years old, and he's been banged up two out of the last three seasons, really three out of the last four, if you think about it, his final year with the Seahawks and then his first and third years with the 49ers. I think getting a young player at cornerback can really put this defensive backfield in motion here, and I think the Seahawks would benefit greatly if they are able to get a defensive back
also,
at some point in the draft.
I completely agree with you, and I worry there's going to be an outside perception that addressing a cornerback suddenly means that the Seahawks aren't taking Russell Wilson's protection seriously. They also traded one of just four draft picks they had to acquire Gabe Jackson, then extended him, spent quite a bit of money on him. And earlier when I was referencing the average cap hit for their defensive ends, they're 26th overall in defensive spending. So they've made moves in free agency, but their investment has still been on offense. The bulk of that with Russell Wilson, but there's also an investment in Dwayne Brown, in Gabe Jackson, with the rookie Damian Lewis, and with free agent Brandon Shell, bringing back Ethan Posick. I am anticipating them to strongly consider making a move for a center or guard in the draft, particularly if there's a great one available. And particularly, like Jake said, if someone like Quinn Miners miraculously falls to you at 56, that's probably a point when you think, no, I don't know if I can afford trading back from this.
Yeah.
But overall, I don't think there's been a lack of investment in the line to such an extent that I would read into a defensive selection with their first pick.
Yeah, I think you look at, you made a great point about just the level of investment they've already made on the offensive line. And Russell Wilson, obviously, he made a point of it, you know, a couple months ago saying, I'm tired of being hit. And I look at what they've done, putting Gabe Jackson on the O-line, moving Damian Lewis likely over to left guard, putting Jackson at right guard. I think this O-line is going to be in a much better spot than it was last year. Jackson is a significant upgrade over Mike Iupati. Iupati was, you know, playing on borrowed time, it felt like, during his last few years in the NFL. Jackson is somebody who I think is still within his prime, and we have not seen the Seahawks make an investment like that on the O-line since the Dwayne Brown trade, you know, giving up, you know, decent draft capital. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say significant, because that's what they gave up to get Dwayne Brown, who is a Pro Bowl player. Jackson, not to that level, but somebody who you can count on showing up in that, you know, starting lineup every single week and just pencil him in there. I think the O-line is not the biggest area of need for the Seahawks right now. I think I'm with you in saying that that defensive backfield is where the Seahawks should look towards. And I think Daniel Jeremiah, who joined the Professor John Clayton earlier this week on his podcast, he said there could be a run on defensive backs around that pick number 56, and he thinks cornerback could be a spot where the Seahawks look to.
Well, I mean, I think corners. Mm-hmm. You know, I think there's a decent group of corners there. There's some height, weight, speed corners that fit what they've traditionally done. When you've got the two Georgia kids, Tyson Campbell and Eric Stokes, it's probably a little bit too early for me for the Syracuse kid, Mel Fonwu, but he's another long corner. I mean, don't they kind of have to trade back, though? I mean, you've got three picks, so I'd be shocked if Schneider ends up selecting with that pick. I would imagine they're going to try and get themselves as many third and fourth round picks as they can by moving around.
Daniel Jeremiah mentioning another defensive back who we profiled a couple weeks ago, Fatu Melifonwu from Syracuse. If it falls like how he's projecting their defensive back at 56, I think that plays very much into Seattle's favor. And I don't know if they would trade out of it if it starts to break their way.
If it starts to break their way and they see a guy, it's going to be one of the most difficult decisions, I would imagine, draft-wise, for Schneider. And this is 10 years of decisions where you've had to make some really tough calls. But he has to be itching for more picks.
Oh,
he's not satisfied with three picks. I mean, when he was entering the 2019 draft, when he talked about having to write Dwayne Brown on a second round, like a sticker that they put on their big board, just so he felt like they made a pick, just so he felt like they used it for something and did something, because staring at this blank board and waiting and being frustrated while guys that you've spent months, sometimes a year or more profiling, you know, are taken off. That's got to be frustrating. I don't know. It feels like people say you can find talent in later rounds, and you can, and that Richard Sherman's success here has swayed a lot of them. I don't think that's as common as people give it credit for. And so I just think that, like, look, can you have a miss with a second round, a third round? Yes, you can. You absolutely can. I mean, Akella Witherspoon is an affordable option for Seattle because he, a third rounder who was drafted before Shaquille Griffin, didn't pan out quite the way that San Francisco was hoping. So you can get someone that doesn't work out for you in the second or third round. Your chances of finding someone who does are greater.
Absolutely. And they're greater if you have more bites of the apple. And that, I think, increases the importance of the later picks that the Seahawks have, because they only have two beyond the second round now. You can't afford to really pick a guy that, you know, there's plenty of question marks on. You got to know who you are taking at those picks. You got to know them forward and backward here. And for the Seahawks, you know, they have not had that level of success, as we talked about earlier in four downs, that they had early on. So can they drum up that kind of magic over the next couple of weeks here remains to be seen. Great text from the 509. They say, look, I would love to take Creed Humphrey at number 56, but I'm worried someone will take him higher.
I saw another one. Someone said, Russell Wilson has become weathered from all the abuse.
Yeah.
I appreciate us keeping this going.
Another 509, Russ is probably like, who's got my back? Creed Humphrey does.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And it's important. It's important that we all take this very seriously and we don't make Creed references. You guys, this is very serious sports radio. So that being said, it's 1:15. That means it's time for NFL headlines. Aaron Donald's lawyer, Casey White, does not anticipate Pittsburgh police will press charges against his client following his involvement in a brawl earlier this week. Curtis, you mentioned a video. I've seen it too. You want to tell the people what they need to know?
Yeah, in the video, and Lindsay Theory, the Rams reporter for ESPN.com, who does a great job of covering the team, she posted the security cam footage, and it would appear as though Aaron Donald is sort of peeling people off the pile rather than him swinging at people.
Yeah.
And it looks as though that DeVincent Spriggs, who was the person looking to press charges, it looks like he was the one that sort of started the whole brawl. Aaron Donald's lawyer saying that Spriggs swung a bottle that grazed Donald's head.
Is that in the video? Can you see it?
I don't think so. And okay. I think it may have spilled out into the street following that altercation in, I don't know if it was a nightclub or a restaurant, wherever it was, but no one looking great coming from
it's
this.
Well, Aaron Donald is looking better for trying to break a fight up.
Peacemaker. Playing peacemaker after getting a bottle swung at you, that's a good sign of character.
Exactly right. And it's a bold move by Spriggs to, if this happened, to swing a bottle at someone or start a fight and then blame it on Aaron Donald, sue him, and say that, like, I brushed up against him and all his friends beat me up.
Good luck with that. Good luck trying to sell that, especially after security cam footage now showing that it wasn't Aaron Donald who was the aggressor in this situation.
Yeah. I've still been trying to find out if this guy is from Washington.
Yeah. Pictured in a Connor Halliday jersey.
Do we have a local guy, maybe?
Maybe. Okay. Anybody know DeVincent Spriggs? Text
right?
into the text line.
710-710.
If you roll with him at all.
Former UW Husky and Buffalo Bill left tackle Trey Adams announced his retirement at age 24. Curtis, the first thing that pops into your mind.
Oh.
I'm leaving it to you.
There's a video out there of Trey Adams at the NFL Combine. I'm not going to quote him at all. Because
I think it's a good idea.
I don't know if I would have a job after 159.50 today.
I think not.
So I'm going to let you guys go look for it, and we'll move on. But
okay.
Trey Adams, one of the best offensive linemen in Husky history, I would say. It's unfortunate that injuries appear to have gotten the better of him, because he was on a path towards a first round pick probably after about his sophomore season. Then he misses nearly his entire junior season, comes back, plays a little bit. Unfortunate that injuries are going to cost him his career at age 24, but interesting guy, to say the least.
The addition of Jadeveon Clowney in Cleveland means that sacrifices had to be made to clear up some cap space. One of those sacrifices, reportedly defensive tackle Sheldon Richardson. Well, it's not reported. The Cleveland Browns have made this official, but what's reported is that was essentially kind of a swap of salaries. This from Ian Rappaport. The Browns released Sheldon Richardson, who was due more than $12 million, essentially Clowney's salary replaced Richardson. Not a bad move. I mean, it's an upgrade. An edge rusher is, I'd rather have, I'm not saying, you know, either is elite right now in this moment. Hypothetical. I'd rather have a great edge rusher than a great defensive tackle, unless that defensive tackle is Aaron Donald. Overall, though, like, that's probably where they're looking to get faster, to get to the quarterback. And Sheldon Richardson maybe just wasn't living up to that $12 million salary. I am not saying he's going to get $12 million from Seattle. I don't even know if he's going to get 10 or 9. Would you kick the tires and be interested in checking out Sheldon Richardson at defensive tackle here?
If the price is right, yeah. I think getting him back here in Seattle, that would be great, especially now that there's going to be a whole trying to fill Jaron Reed's void here. I think Sheldon Richardson is somebody that can come in and play that position. But if it's to the point where it's north of like $6-7 million, I'm gonna back off and say anybody else can have this guy. But yeah, I think Sheldon Richardson is an intriguing free agent, especially at this point in free agency. We're probably not going to see much movement from him over the next couple of weeks. I think May 3rd is when that second wave can open up. I think that's when teams are going to really sort of pick up the phone for him. So it's going to be a while before he finds a home, but I think if the price is right, which you could say that about any free agent, I think Seattle should take a look at him.
Yeah, I don't think they should pay him more than they were going to pay Reed. I know the plan wasn't to part ways with Jaron Reed. The plan was to try to restructure and create some cap space. So it's not like they decided to release him out of nowhere. It was just negotiations that went south. But I think that Reed would be a better option. So it wouldn't be an upgrade to me. However, you don't have Reed anymore. You brought back Puna Ford. You have Al Woods. You have some depth there. But like you said, if Sheldon Richardson is coming in at well under $8 million, which is a pretty decent price, yeah, why not? I mean, it would have to be a deal where Sheldon Richardson was probably, frankly, underpaid. But if you can get pretty team-friendly, could happen, potentially. Center Ryan Khalil, he played for the Jets in 2019, but most people know him most from his time with the Panthers, sounded off on what he thinks happened with Sam Darnold in New York. As we know, Darnold's story has since taken him to Carolina, where he'll now be the quarterback for the Panthers. Panthers send a couple draft picks to New York. New York, meanwhile, seemingly removes itself from the trade talks about Russell Wilson and is looking at the number two pick at quarterback. Everyone predicting that Zach Wilson is going to land there. What Khalil said, though, is he doesn't actually think it's all on Sam Darnold as to why he didn't work out. This is what he said about Adam Gase's scheme. It was a system that didn't allow a lot of individual freedom. It was very, you do it this way and that's it. This is via The Athletic. A lot of the scheme was predetermined based on what they thought they were seeing from the sideline, meaning it didn't give Sam a lot of room to grow, in my opinion, or make the decisions on the fly. He said it worked sometimes, but handicapped him in the long run. So maybe we haven't seen everything Sam Darnold can be.
Maybe. But I have never been an ardent Sam Darnold supporter. And this stretches back to his days at USC, when he was very turnover prone, and yet guys like Todd McShay and Mel Kiper were always telling us, oh, this is a guy you need to watch out for. He had one amazing game at USC when they won the Rose Bowl. I think it was against Penn State. And he was the reason why they won that game, making incredible throw after incredible throw. I could see it that game. But outside of then, when has Sam Darnold ever shown that he is anything more than just a guy?
Yeah.
I have never once seen it. And yeah, Adam Gase's offense, we saw it with Ryan Tannehill in Miami, where Tannehill actually is a pretty good quarterback. And we've seen that in Tennessee ever since Tannehill went his separate ways from Adam Gase. Is that going to be the case with Sam Darnold in Carolina, playing under Matt Rhule, who's a coach that, at least in college, had some pretty good quarterbacks playing for him in his system? But I have never once seen it from Sam Darnold. I don't know if I'm going to see it at any point in Carolina.
Yeah, I don't know either. I think the one upside you can say about someone is he's young. That means there's not a lot of other qualities you can point to. Like, it's the first thing I think of when I think, oh, not bad. It's he's young. And I'm expecting that the Panthers tried to do a lot else and he was like plan D or E.
Yeah. Well, the Panthers have shown interest at varying levels with guys like Deshaun Watson, which I can understand why they backed off of him.
Right.
Maybe Russell Wilson was on their radar at some point because Russ played at NC State for all those years. Sam Darnold, to me, never feels like someone's first option, especially if you're going to trade for a quarterback. Like, that's somebody you go to when you're like, look,
you're
we have
dice.
Done all we can
yeah.
do. I'm trying here. You can't say I'm not trying after trading for a quarterback like Sam Darnold.
So your kid wants a Tickle Me Elmo, and you're like, look, the best I could find was this other random toy, and you're just going to have to accept it.
Exactly.
It's still here. It can still get the job done. It's just not the one your friends have or want.
They're like, but
I hate it here. We have three questions following the Seahawks edition of Alden Smith. Now, Curtis, you have one specifically about a former Seahawk. I think there's also an important one to be had about a current Seahawk. So some other names now going to be affected with the addition of Smith. We'll tell you who they are and what our three questions are next.
You're listening to Jake and Stacy.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
It's the Curtis Rogers takeover of Jake and Stacy calling it. I'll go Curtis and Stacy. I am a hostess.
Wow, you'll give me top billing?
I'll give you top billing.
Top
Curtis
bunk?
And Stacy on for just a bit longer with you here today. Let's talk Alden Smith. Alden Smith signs with the Seahawks. A one-year deal shoring up that defensive line. There are three unanswered questions after this signing, though. So as far as, like, how long is the deal? Is it official? Those have been answered. The answer is yes, it's official, and it's a one-year deal. There are three more. So let's go ahead and start with this one. Can he be a difference maker? This is kind of the most obvious, but one of the hardest to answer because you really don't know. You know what he looks like at his peak, Curtis. 19 and a half sacks in his second year with San Francisco. That is top billing defensive end numbers. 14 sacks in his rookie season. We've seen him take over a game even as recently as last year. Week 3 against Seattle, he had 3 sacks of Russell Wilson and was maybe the best player that day in a game that was pretty solid. Pretty solid game on both sides of the field. But you also have to consider that legal issues kept him out of the league for 4 full seasons and nearly 5 calendar years. He came back. He had 5 sacks with Dallas. But you don't know yet, just because of the limited time he's been back, you don't know yet whether he's still that player. So can he be a difference maker?
Yeah, I don't think it's fair to expect the Alden Smith that was probably the most fearsome player on that 49ers defense under Jim Harbaugh. That Alden Smith, I don't know if we're ever going to see a player quite like that ever again, mm-hmm. especially with the number of sacks that he was putting up so early on in his career. He was a game wrecker at that point. When you bring up him and his NFL career, you pretty much have to bring up the legal issues that have kept him out of the yep. league for as long as possible. And it's not just one thing. It is multiple things. And, I mean, people kind of look at wasted talent in the NFL. Alden Smith is definitely on that list. Same with, like, Josh Gordon. But that is a player, that is a type of player that the Seahawks have never shied away from. Guys who have either been out of the league for a while or have serious question marks. Gordon, Deion Jordan, Alden Smith, those are guys like that. I don't think Brandon Browner was out of the league because of those reasons.
There were some questions about Bruce Irvin, many of which were unfair, but at the time they were there. And in hindsight, they were very unfair.
Well, yeah, and a lot of question marks about Irvin were when he was like 15
exactly.
or 16 years old.
Exactly.
When, you know, who among us at 15 and 16 wasn't.
Well, and I think that coverage
decisions.
Would have been more problematic now,
yes.
but it was seen as the same kind of narrative.
Yeah, so I think Alden Smith is somebody that can absolutely still make a difference, and I think the role in which they're going to have him play is not of an every-down defensive end, an every-down pass rusher. I think he's going to be in situations, and that will maximize him because he's up there in terms of, you know, football age. He's, what, 31 years old, 32 years
yeah,
old?
Yeah, very young adult human age, but
I mean, I can't think of anybody
player.
Older in my life.
Than 31.
Yeah, exactly. So Alden Smith, if he plays that role of situational pass rusher, I think he can absolutely make a difference. I just don't want him out there every single down because I don't think he's anywhere near the player that he was during his San Francisco days.
Very fair. Next question. Who's the odd man out in the pass rush? So credit to Danny O'Neill. I was hosting the other day on Danny and Gallant with him, and he brought up this question because the news of Alden Smith signing in Seattle broke during the show. And one of the earlier things he said was, they aren't going to carry 8-plus defensive ends into the season. Like, you're not going to have that many guys in the contract. It's going to be almost a wide-open battle. I mean, you can pen in, like, Carlos Dunlap, seemingly, if he can stay healthy and stay productive. Same with Kerry Hyder, who has a few more years on his deal in Seattle. But otherwise, there's some wide-open spots there. So for now, Smith joins a group that includes L.J. Collier, Dunlap, Hyder, Benson Mayowa, Daryl Taylor, Rasheem Green, Alton Robinson. I mean, is there someone in danger of not making this that might surprise you?
Very, very possibly. But I'll say this. Defensive end and pass rushing in general is one of the few positions in sports you can never have enough of. I would say pass rush, running backs, and starting pitching. Those are the three positions in sports.
I appreciate that it was across sports.
Yes, you can never have enough of those guys. So the problem that the Seahawks have right now in figuring out who could be an odd man out in this rotation, that is an enviable spot to be in if you are Pete Carroll and John Schneider and you're trying to figure out how you're going to construct this roster. And we're still months away from figuring out who the final rotation will be from this spot. But I don't like Rasheem Green's prospects of being a huge difference maker on this team in 2021, simply because of how much they're paying some of these guys. Kerry Hyder, I would imagine, is ahead of him on the depth chart. Carlos Dunlap as well. Alden Smith, bringing in somebody like that. You don't bring somebody like that in to sit him on the bench. Mm-hmm. And Rasheem Green, can you show us anything more than what you've been your first 3 years in the league? And you're a productive player. You're good to have on a roster.
He's been the jack of all trades, master of none type player.
Exactly.
He was someone they thought could play inside or outside. He could maybe be at five tech. Maybe he could be an edge, a more traditional edge rusher. They thought they could use him anywhere. And he ended up not quite mastering any one of those roles.
Yeah. And I mean, it's just one of those things where it's like, are you going to be any better than what you've been? And frankly, I haven't seen it from him. Hopefully there's something in there from Rasheem Green. Stacey, when you look at this pass rush group, who do you believe is that odd player out?
I'm not going to rule out Smith potentially not even making the roster. Like, I'm just,
we've seen that in the past, too. The Seahawks bring in name guys, and it's like, oh my, Jari Evans, holy cow.
Look, if ever there was a time for Pete Carroll to commit to the always compete philosophy, it would be this offseason, where you've got a roughly similar, give or take a million or so, cap hit for a lot of your defensive players. So when you're looking at the defensive line, Kerry Hyder and Carlos Dunlap are getting more money over the life of their contract, or more money in incentives, more money in the bonus or whatever it was. But like, the cap hit themselves shouldn't be the deciding factor. And that's rare. So yes, you want Daryl Taylor to come in and impress you and for him to kind of earn his spot, but you know that they're not going to get rid of a high second rounder that they like traded up to acquire. But I think that you don't just pen Smith in if Rasheem Green or if someone else genuinely has a better camp, because you don't know that he can be the player he was.
Correct.
And that sounds ridiculous. I know there are people that are like, that's absurd, but I'm just saying, like, you can't do Sharpie Smith on this roster.
Well, and I think Pete and John have also sort of favored players that have a history within their system.
Yes, they have.
They are not people that are going to take somebody just based off of name and name alone. If you are comfortable and know your stuff within Seattle's defense, there is always going to be a place for you on this roster.
The last question I might save for, actually I am going to save it for when we do What I Need to Know. It's going to be my first question of What I Need to Know, which means you guys on the text line can answer it if you want. What's the addition of Alden Smith mean for KJ Wright? That's how we're going to start What I Need to Know, but I'm going to need some more questions. So you're going to text any question you have, any question. You can text multiple questions to 710-710. That is our text line. We're reading your questions and answering them next on What I Need to Know. Do not go anywhere.
You're listening to Jake and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacey Ross.
It's What I Need to Know, brought to you by Allred Heating, Cooling, Electric. Very quickly, Curtis, while I get you guys to send in some more questions, 710-710, what does the signing of Alden Smith mean for KJ Wright?
I hope it means that there's still some money left in the pot for KJ to come back. I would love it if KJ Wright returned to the Seahawks. Mm-hmm. I don't think this signing has a huge impact on KJ's future with Seattle right now, but if it continues to drag on and on and on and on, we're looking at, you know, the end of May, June before KJ's even signed. Boy, I don't like the chances of him coming back, because it would mean the Seahawks aren't exactly, you know, cooking on that stovetop.
Which is a bummer, because I would love to see KJ Wright finish his career here in Seattle, personally.
Oh, absolutely.
And he deserves to. Like, he's had a great last couple years.
He deserves to be in the Ring of Honor. He deserves just the key to the city.
All right. To the text line, are the Mariners for real, and do you think they have a chance to be contenders in the AL West? I am not ready to commit to that yet, Curtis, but I will say I think their impressive start to the season is somewhat sustainable. I think that's what makes it different from the 13-2 start, is that the guys that are playing well are people you expected to play well and people that are going to be with you for this season, and you still got two great bats coming. Curtis, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm not going to say that they're contenders by any stretch of the imagination, but there is reason for hope and reason for optimism in the 2021 season that did not exist the last time the Mariners got off to a great start. So I think that this team is going to be competitive in this season, especially because we've got talent coming up here over the next couple of weeks. Kyle Lewis on Monday, potentially against the Dodgers, and Jared Kelnick and Logan Gilbert at some point this summer. So this team, as it's currently constructed, is not what it's going to be the rest of the way, and I think that's a good thing.
What I need to know, with Rashad Penny never remaining healthy, the Seahawks need another good running back. Do they address this in the draft? Free agency?
I hope free agency.
I do too. Please don't address it in the draft. You've drafted in back-to-back years a running back. Back-to-back-to-back years.
Yes. It is time to look elsewhere in the draft than running back.
Hear me out. They have had more luck with running backs outside of the draft. I know Thomas Rawls wasn't here a long time. He was here for a good time, not a long time, that good time being 800 yards. And it was an undrafted free agent out of Central Michigan, I think. And then, obviously, the trade for Marshawn Lynch. Carlos Hyde free agency was your second most effective running back. Like, Chris Carson might be the most effective back you've drafted.
How about this for a free agent running back? Todd Gurley, he is still out there. 26 years old. I wouldn't mind him as a third down back.
Do you think, Curtis, I'll leave you with this one. Do you think Kyle Lewis should split time at DH when he comes back?
If the knee is still bothering him and he doesn't feel comfortable out in the field, I say why not?
They've done it with Haniger.
They have. And it keeps him from, you know, having to play every single day out in the field. You got half the workload just taking your ABs. I wouldn't be opposed to seeing Kyle Lewis take some reps at DH. Now you got to figure, where do you put Ty France in the lineup? You put him at second base, third base, first base, wherever. But if it helps Lewis and if it helps him get that bat in the lineup every single day, I am not opposed to it.
What I need to know, what are you two going to do on this gorgeous weekend from Chris and Enumclaw? What are you and Brenna doing?
Well, I'm going to be hosting Seattle Sports Saturday tomorrow.
Yes, of course.
And then I'm doing Mariners pre- and postgame on Sunday.
So you're working.
So I'm working.
Yeah.
In the interim, though, I believe there is... So my wife pointed this out to me last night. She saw it on Facebook. There is a pop-up shop in the Auburn area near what's called the Outlet Collection. It used to be the Super Mall.
You don't have to tell me twice.
Yeah. It's a pop-up... like edible cookie dough store.
Hello.
I think we might hit that up tonight.
Can you guys get me some and bring it into the office
on
and I'll
Monday?
Venmo you? Yes, 1,000%.
I don't know if it'll keep.
Really?
For a couple days.
Man, I guess I'll just have to buy and eat my own cookie dough by myself. My roommates are going on a trip that I'm unable to go to because I'm helping my parents move. But I'm doing that on just one of the days that they're gone. So for the other day, I have it already planned out in my brain. I'm going to tell you guys exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to wake up. I'm going to go drive through and get coffee. I'm going to go get my hair done. Then I'm going to come home. Then I'm going to organize my closet with these new plastic bins I just got. Then I'm going to order a pizza and sit on my couch and watch TV. And I want everyone to know that is okay. It is okay to be excited for a day like that.
And even though the weather is
great. You are not alone.
Even though the weather is going to be great this weekend, carve out some time to watch The Circle on Netflix.
Yo!
Absolutely.
We don't need to waste your guys' time talking about it, but if you would like to join our Circle chat, at A Kid From Kent, at Stacey Rost, we will talk about The Circle anytime, anyplace. Let's see. Back to the text line. I saw someone saying, why do you think... Oh. From the 253, do you think baseball would be more popular if they started playing draft picks right away? Well, it would be worse. 27-year-old rookies are boring. That's also old for a rookie.
I don't think it would be better if you were playing 18 and 19 year olds.
Absolutely.
Because
not.
As we've seen time and time again, it takes 3 or 4 years for these guys to catch up to what we're seeing at the major league level. It's the outliers, the Bryce Harpers, the Juan Sotos. We've seen it here in Seattle with King Griffey Jr. and Alex Rodriguez. Those guys come around once in a generation. You're not going to see every 18 and 19 year old come up to the major league level and succeed the way those guys have. So it's fine the way it is. It's not cool the way a lot of these guys are handled along the way to the major league level.
Oh yeah,
in the instances,
separate issue, but a big one.
Yeah, exactly. But these guys need some seasoning.
Important question, maybe the most important question we got today. Thank you, 253. Taco Bell or Taco Time?
Oh,
you already know.
Bell. Is that even a
the
question?
Bell. Ring the
That's
bell.
That's not a real question.
Ring the bell.
I have to tell you guys something, and I'm being very serious about this. I grew up down the street from the Taco Bell in SeaTac, Washington, and I always thought Taco Time was like the Nordstrom of fast food. We're like, I can't afford to go there.
I was taught that too.
You're right.
Yeah.
I thought that it was like, not elitist, but I was like, oh, Taco Time? I don't understand that life. Can't relate.
I don't have gold bars on me, so I can't pay for this crisp burrito.
What I need to know, should the Hawks trade all picks this season for future picks and sign undrafted free agents? A bold choice. No, they should not, but I like where your head's at, 425.
Just totally give up on this year's draft.
I respect
that. That would
so
give us
much.
Not a lot to talk about during our draft coverage.
Or would it give us
weeks.
Everything to talk about? Because if Ooh. They traded every draft pick and then just went for undrafted, that would be psycho coverage.
I'm here for it.
I kind of am, too.
I'm here for chaos when it comes to the draft. If it goes as planned, I don't like that. I want absolute pandemonium over any pick that happens. If they take a quarterback, I am all for it simply because of the conversations that would stem from that.
I'll do our last question here since we have a couple seconds from the 206. Do you guys miss Jake?
Who? I don't know this man.
Yeah, I don't know.
Jake from State Farm?
I don't know this man.
Oh, they brought Jake from State Farm back. It's a different Jake now.
Oh, I don't know him.
I don't miss him, no.
Weird. All right, Wyman and Bob are coming up in just a few minutes. They are live from T-Mobile Park. You guys will not want to miss it, so do not go anywhere. This is 710 ESPN Seattle.